Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart Live, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and affectionately known in some circles as the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Although Bob doesn't use that moniker any longer. But I do, because I go way back, all the way back in the Wayback Machine. Here we go. Modern technology, you gotta love live radio. When I came into the studio, there was a dime. There's a dime on the desk. So is this my pay for the day? I appreciate payment in advance, though. I certainly do. Certainly do appreciate payment in advance. All right, so Bob is gone. Bob has fled the state. He has gone and fled to Minnesota because he says it's just not been cold enough around here. It's just not cold enough. We've only been in the 20s for a week. And it's barely gotten below zero a couple of days. And so Bob and some other real men left for Minnesota. But he will be back after the first of the year. You can count on that. He will be back after the first of the year. This is the final live broadcast on KLTT this year. And I'm honored to have been given the opportunity to sit in for Bob. I want everyone to know, though, that you can tune in tomorrow to Theology Thursday, where Bob will be discussing the Apostle Paul's dissertation on the weaker brethren from Romans, the 14th chapter. It's not what you think, which is what's so great about so many of Bob's Bible studies. He introduces a topic that you thought you knew about, and then it turns out it's not quite what you thought. So Theology Thursday tomorrow, the weaker brethren, Romans 14, please do tune in. And then Real Science Radio on Friday. Real Science Radio, if you want a heads up on the Real Science Radio broadcast, go to 360dayyear.com and read about it before you hear about it on Real Science Radio. Bob will be discussing, along with the great, legendary Fred Williams, the 360-day year and why it was, and then why it is no longer. And he will tell you why it's interesting. Yes, indeed. And interesting it is, very much so. All right, so as many people do on their year-end broadcasts, we have predictions, loads and loads of predictions. We're going to make all kinds of predictions. And, of course, this is the day when all of the guest hosts who are sitting in for all of the real hosts are told, don't really push it for callers. Don't ask for a lot of callers, because it's well known that nobody listens to the radio in the days, in the 48 hours leading up to New Year's Eve. Just nobody's listening. Everyone's on vacation, they're skiing, or they're dealing with the weather, and just nobody's listening. So just don't bother. So I am not going to solicit callers for your predictions for 2016. My main prediction for 2016 is that what you thought was the biggest story, or would be the biggest story, will not be the biggest story of 2016. That's the main prediction I make today. Here, as I sit in for Bob Enyart on Bob Enyart Live right here on Real Science Radio. And I'm glad to have all of you aboard. Whether live or via the internet, you know, the show goes to KGOV.com, where it's archived forever. Well, for as long as God decides to keep it around. But for as far as you know, it'll be there forever. And you can always go listen to it at KGOV.com, where we are unconstrained by the bounds of the traditional broadcast media. We go worldwide to a worldwide audience, and I want to welcome my listeners from around the world. Actually, I'll welcome Bob's listeners from around the world. All right, so we should get to some news before I start making outlandish predictions that have very little possibility of actually coming true. First story that caught my eye this morning, I was scanning the internet looking for news worthy of you, the listening audience, and I read the following headline: New York Knicks Cleanthony Early shot in a robbery. Begging the question, of course, was he the perpetrator or the victim? Yeah, he's the New York Knicks. Anyway, it turns out that formerly unknown New York Knick, Cleanthony Early, I had never heard of this fella. I'm not a big basketball fan. Perhaps he's well known in the New York Knicks circles. New York Knicks Cleanthony Early was robbed and shot Wednesday morning. So I went to Wikipedia to try to find out who this guy is. They already have this story on his biography. He was shot in the kneecap. And CNN reports that the New York Knick had just left a gentleman's club. I said a gentleman's club. Around 4:30 a.m. That's the CNN report. And Wikipedia already on the Wikipedia page, they already say that Cleanthony had left a gentleman's club with his girlfriend in an Uber car. And I've just got to ask, well, first of all, why did they call it a gentleman's club? Because we all know what that is, right? We all know what that is. Callers? I specifically said I would not solicit callers. I'm going to ask my call screener to strictly screen this caller. He has to have something in two sentences or less, and it has to be meaningful. Otherwise, I'm not going to take it. Anyway, it turns out that Cleanthony Early was a victim, shot in the kneecap, and he was robbed of all of his gold chains, having left a gentleman's club at 4:30 in the morning. Note to young men looking to get ahead in life. Don't be at a strip club, period. Don't be leaving a strip club at 4:30 in the morning. And don't adorn yourself with all your gold chains when you go into something as sleazy and seedy as a strip club if you choose to do so. But if you choose to do so, you will limit your career possibilities. We'll be interested. Now I'll be tracking Cleanthony Early's career to see how he does after being shot in the leg, having left a strip club with his girlfriend. All right, we'll take the caller. Is he calling from Uganda, or does he want to talk about Uganda? Because if a caller is calling from Uganda, you pretty much have to take that call. But please, screen more thoroughly, because I have other stories that I want to get to before I begin taking any callers with their wild predictions for 2016. Doesn't matter to me how wild or impossible it might be. If you wanted to air your prediction for 2016, now's the time to do it. Should I give the phone number or not? I should? No, I shouldn't. If you don't know the phone number, I probably don't want to hear from you. No. No, I'll give the phone number just to be courteous. It's 800-8-NYARK. That's 800-836-9278. If you want to call and be on the broadcast, and if you have some kind of prediction, or if you have any other information on Cleanthony Early and all of that. All right. Did you hear about the drone that flew alongside? Well, let me just read the story from NBC. They reported that Barack Obama, who just happens to be on vacation in Hawaii, as he is oft wont to be, he was wrapping up a day of golf, long, difficult day of golf, and he was headed back to his outrageously overpriced vacation home when a drone briefly flew alongside the motorcade of the President of the United States. So just let that one sink in for a second. A drone flew alongside the motorcade of the President of the United States. What does that mean? You take that for what it's worth. You know my position on drones. I like drones. But drones, like any other type of technology, if they were to fall into the hands of evil, wicked men, then horrible, terrible things could be done with drones. Now, apparently, this was an innocent drone, as far as you and I know. The guy who had the drone says, I didn't know any, I know nothing, I didn't know, I just, the president's here, I had no idea. But he was able to fly his drone alongside the motorcade of the President of the United States. Just take that for what it's worth. That's all. All right, so we have screened the caller sufficiently. Let's go to John, who is from Denver, but is either calling from Uganda or has something about Uganda. John, you're on Bob and Yart Live. Speak your mind.
Doug, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, John. What do you got? Two sentences or less. We're almost at the end of the year.
You got it. Well, I'm just calling about to see if you guys have any updates on Pastor Scott Lively of Abiding Truth Ministries, who is being sued by the sexual minorities of Uganda for basically supporting anti-sodomy laws that legislators and government officials in Uganda drafted. And now the gay and lesbian groups here in the United States and the West are saying it's all his fault that these laws were drafted. I guess all nations that have any anti-sodomy laws at all, it's all the fault of Christians. Christians inspired them to do this.
Thank you, John. Yes, actually, we had a story on that earlier in the week that we just didn't get to. But it turns out that the efforts of leftist humanists in the Western democracies to promote open, flaming homosexuality throughout Africa and the rest of the third world, that it's actually those efforts of the leftist humanists that have caused response within the governments of these third world nations to say, hey, wait a minute, we don't want open, flaming homosexuals open and flaming everywhere. And so they started passing laws, and it turns out that the humanists have actually got, now the homosexuals over there are kind of exposed now to more harassment from people who are just normal people and don't want people to walk around just openly proclaiming that they're sex perverts. But as far as Scott Lively goes, I don't have a specific update on that, but we appreciate the input, John. Thank you. And I hope you have a happy new year. Now, I have to move on. Yesterday, Bob and I made some comments about Megyn Kelly. Actually, what happened was my wife made a comment about the seemingly, well, I just won't say, about the guest host who's filling in for Megyn. Since no real hosts are doing any shows this week anywhere, it's all second string losers filling in for everybody. We made some comments, and I got an email from a friend of the show. And a friend of the show says, hey, guys, I really wonder if you want to sound misogynistic, as you do, when you go on and on about Megyn Kelly's pallor and her attire and her fill-in host, etc., etc., etc. And I do not want to, first of all, I am not a misogynist. If anyone out there thinks I hate women, you ask my wife of 25 years or any of my three daughters or our office manager here in the office. I don't hate women. I love women more than Donald Trump. And we all know he loves women so much that it hurts. Anyway, I wrote back to this friend of the show, who is a good friend of the show, and only sent us this email out of concern that we were coming off as misogynist. And then I looked up the word misogynist, and it means an irrational hatred of women. Hatred is what it means. And so I wrote back to, and I don't want anyone to think that I hate women, although most women I don't know, so I don't have an opinion on them. There are some women I don't like, and then there are other women that I like, and then there's one woman that I like a lot, a whole lot. That would be my extremely attractive audio engineer that you can hear if you go to the Weekly Worldview, which is available on iTunes. Look for Doug McBurney. Look for the Weekly Worldview. Just search for Conservative Talk on iTunes. Or go on the World Wide Web to theweeklyworldview.com, and you can hear my extremely attractive audio engineer, which is the one woman I like a lot. But most women, I just don't know them, so I haven't really formed an opinion on them. But as regards Megyn Kelly, I said to our friend of the show via email, I said, dear friend of the show, if Megyn Kelly was on our side, I wouldn't make fun of her. I would not make fun of her or her creepy robotic guest host. Who, by the way, my wife actually made fun of, just to be clear. And then I tried to make the point that we make fun of lots of people. Well, how can you say we're misogynistic? We've made more fun of Michael Jackson way more than Megyn Kelly. And how about Bruce Jenner, since Michael Jackson may not be the best example of us making fun of a man? But Bob has always said that Michael Jackson was born a poor black child and grew up to be a rich white woman. Now, that's not misogynistic. That's just in poor taste. And Bruce Jenner, I stated on the air when I saw that picture of Bruce Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair, I stated on the air that I was going to become physically ill. And that image, that disgusting image, is burned into my memory, unfortunately, forever. You can't erase something like that. Let's see. The email exchange continued when our friend of the show said, Doug, you can talk about Megyn Kelly's policy differences without discussing her appearance, at which point I realized that our friend of the show is correct. We should focus on Megyn Kelly's policy differences. Although, initially I thought, Megyn Kelly, policies? Does she have any policies? I wasn't aware of any policies. I thought Megyn Kelly just read whatever Mr. Ailes' minions put in front of her. And I had been of the opinion that since the only reason she got the gig was because of her appearance, that it was okay to talk about her appearance. But I found out that Megyn Kelly does take a stand once in a while. Now, for all of you people out there who are regular Fox News viewers, and if you're part of the demographic that has made Megyn Kelly the number one news personality on the planet, I wonder why. I wonder why. Here's a report from Newsmax back in 2013 when Megyn Kelly had a show called American Live. Do you guys remember this show? No, you don't remember it, but she had a show back in 2013, and she chastised a Fox contributor on the air for citing a study that was critical of homosexuals raising children. And here's what Megyn Kelly said to the Fox News contributor. She said, now, there is data in the scientific community to suggest that children of homosexual couples who are happily married and good parents fare no worse than children of heterosexual couples. How about that? Said Megyn Kelly. And Newsmax goes on to report that in previous interviews, Megyn Kelly has often mentioned her homosexual friends, and she has compared homosexual marriage proponents to the civil rights leaders of the mid-20th century, as well as those involved in the women's rights movement in the early 20th century. So there we have Megyn Kelly lining up with the liberals and the humanists, lumping in the black folks and the women with the homosexuals, which is disgusting. I would not want to be lumped in. I have been an advocate for the right to life of unborn children, which I think is comparable somewhat to the abolition movement against slavery, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement. But don't be lumping us in with the queers, Kelly. I mean, we don't need that. That's sickening and disgusting. You can lump me in with Martin Luther King or the abolitionists, but please don't lump me in with Harvey Milk and the perverts out at Stonewall, as does Megyn Kelly, the number one conservative reporter in the history of all such things. Nobody can touch her ratings because she is so popular with the conservatives. What else do we have on Megyn? Megyn Kelly asked an unknown politician. What was this fella's name? This guy was running for president. His name is Governor Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, was running for president. And in a debate, Megyn asked Mr. Walker said that he would be open to the idea of making abortion illegal, even in the cases of rape, incest, and the alleged life of the mother. She asked, and Scott Walker answered the question saying, yes, he's against abortion, even in the cases of rape, incest, life of the mother. So Megyn Kelly, America's number one conservative, whatever she is she a reporter? She's not a commentator. I mean, she just reads news. That's all. You put it in front of her, you roll it on a teleprompter, and she can read it without fumbling all over her words. When there's some skill to that, I'm sure. But she said to Scott Walker the following, quote, Governor Walker, would you really let a mother die rather than have an abortion? and Mr. Walker, with 83% of the American public in favor of a life exception, are you too out of the mainstream on this issue to win the general election, Mr. Walker? Said Megyn Kelly, America's favorite conservative newsreader. So today I'm not going to talk about Megyn Kelly's appearance, but I am going to say that Megyn Kelly is a homosexualist. That is a person who promotes the idea that homosexuality should be accepted as normal. Good. That Megyn Kelly is a homosexualist. Megyn Kelly is also a pro-abort. So she's a pro-abort homosexualist, and so it doesn't really matter what she looks like. I won't watch her no matter what. There. So I hope I've made myself clear. So all you people who turn on Megyn Kelly every night, what are you people thinking about? Just unbelievable. I mean, I could understand if there's nothing else on, but please. I mean, there's always an episode of Forensic Files running on Headline News, so you could always switch over to that. And at least that has some basis in reality and fact. Megyn Kelly just reads whatever they put in front of. All right, I'll get off Megyn Kelly. That's it. Let's go to predictions for 2016. Do you people have any predictions? Anything wild and crazy that you want to air? If so, send me an email. Maybe I'll do it on my show. My call screener has asked that I just please don't bring in the wild, crazy predictions for 2016, because you never know what you're going to get. So here's one prediction, is that the generation of children who hate their mothers and fathers and reject all authority because they've been so injured by their mothers and fathers, that those children will continue to wreak havoc upon American life. I've got a story here from ABC News. Did you guys hear about this, about the mall in Louisville, Kentucky, that was overrun by between 1 and 2,000 teenagers? It was overrun. They were loitering, fighting, swearing, throwing things. Shots were fired. They refused to leave businesses, and they forced the shopping center to shut down this past Saturday night. This was not Chicago. This was not Detroit. This was not Philadelphia. This is Louisville, Kentucky. And the police responded to calls that came in, but the calls kept mounting and mounting until the police literally could not keep up with the number of people calling the police terrified of this mob of teenagers, between 1 and 2,000 teenagers. The police spokesman says there were about 50 police officers at the mall, and they were simply overrun. Officers were being sworn at, yelled at, and harassed. Police officers yelled at and sworn at by teenage kids. And there were no arrests because the police were focused solely on, quote, restoring order. That's according to the police spokesman. Wow, a spokesman. I didn't know they had those anymore. I thought they were all spokespersons. Anyway, the police spokesman says there were no arrests because police wanted to restore order. And so here's another prediction for 2016, is that the ability of the police to restore order in any given situation will continue to be diminished, primarily by the generation of children who hate their parents. And because they hate their parents, they hate the government, and they hate the law, and they hate God. And they will continue to, and they are encouraged by adults who want to utilize their anger for their own selfish, devious, dark ends. So that will continue. Another story on a famous person. Should I even give this? I'm not going to give this person's name because I never heard of this person, but this person is famous. It's from a show that I've heard of, but I never watched it. There's a show called Glee, G-L-E-E. Okay? Apparently it's something. One of the stars of Glee has been arrested on child pornography charges. Police found hundreds of images of children under the age of 16, and they were tipped off by one of the actor's former girlfriends. Child pornography. This actor is 33 years old. Seems like a normal guy. They had a picture of him on the internet here, and he looks normal. But here's another prediction for 2016. Is the epidemic of crimes against children will increase because of the continuing promotion and dissemination of pornography throughout the country. I ask myself sometimes, what were the lawyers that my grandparents elected into public office back in the 1940s and 50s? What did they think would happen once they legalized pornography? Did they think that everything would just continue on normal? Or did they ever suspect that the average guy down the street, the guy who's a successful actor, the guy who's a successful promoter of a sub sandwich shop, would end up being completely consumed and destroyed by some of the most vile pornography on the face of the earth? Do you think the lawyers who allowed Playboy magazine to be published ever had it in their mind that this would happen? They were probably just too ignorant. Do you think our grandparents had any idea that it would come to this? That there would be the most vile forms of child pornography instantly available on the internet anytime for everyone? Did they ever think that would happen? And if so, did they think we would all be okay with that and everything would be cool? Because everything's not cool. And this will continue. And this will get worse. I've got a report here speaking of the culture. In 2014, according to, this is from PewResearch.org, in 2014, just 14% of children under 18 lived with a stay-at-home mom and a working dad who were in their first marriage. Fewer than 14%. In 1960, about half of children lived in this type of arrangement. Mom, dad, first marriage, mom stays home, dad works. About half. And here we are, it's down to 14%. One of the biggest changes, according to Pew, is the increase in kids living with single parents and children living with two parents who are not married. And, of course, this has contributed to births occurring outside of marriage. In 1960, 5% of births occurred to unmarried women. And that has increased eightfold now. 40% of births occur to women who are not married. All right, I don't want to do this story. We're almost out. No. How about this? We've only got about a minute left. I don't know what to predict for 2016 as far as what's going to happen. The culture will continue to fracture and come apart. America will continue to be increasingly exposed to the attacks of our enemies from both within and without. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I suggest you do at your house. You can watch what's going on, and you can see the mayhem and the murder and the disgusting grossness of the culture all circling and swirling around you as it heads toward the drain. But as for you in your house, you should serve the Lord. And fathers, you should raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because in Him there is hope. And there is victory. And there is life. Where there is life, there is hope. Folks, thank you very much. I want to thank Bob. I'll see you again in 2016. God bless, and go to kgov.com.